Good morning. So today I'll be reading from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glory, on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, you who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not we take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. So today my sermon is titled, Who Are You With? And so I want to start the sermon off by telling you what this isn't about, what it's not going to be. This sermon isn't about guilt-tripping you into a frenzy laundry list of endless charitable acts to remain in the good graces of God Almighty, but to a small degree, kind of is. So please don't misunderstand me. We still have the grace of God that understands our heart's intentions and gets the day-to-day struggles that we face as human beings with stressful jobs and busy school schedules, chaotic families, crying kids, and commitments to ourselves. However, this sermon is meant to challenge us to think again about public matters we fail to take action on. God cares for those who are unhoused, those sick without health insurance or suitable health care, as well as those who are being terrorized or killed due to their race, religion, identity, ethnicity, and so on. And God is concerned about those who aren't actively concerned about all those mentioned. He cares that we aren't in solidarity with others, and it troubles him that we lack action in displaying our concern. In today's text, God intentionally positions himself as each one of these persons to say that my presence and my identity are with the least of these. So however way we choose to show up for those in hardship, know that God cares. He cares so much that he is already in radical solidarity with them. He even uses this text to question why we weren't there for him. Our inaction makes God question our character, something which he should never feel made to do. He proceeded to ask, where were we when he was hungry, and did we feed him? And what about when he was homeless? Did we offer him community and support? And how about the time when he was in jail? Did we visit him? Or when he was without protection in the face of a predator, did we shelter him? When he looked different from you and I, did we identify with him? And when he was judged, did we stand up for him? And were we friends in doing so? This sermon is for those who aren't in solidarity with the sheep. And according to the text, if we aren't in solidarity with the sheep, then we are with the goats. And to give further context of who the goats are, their objective is self-seeking, and they care only about their own access to power, land, and money. They find satisfaction in seizing money from those poverty-stricken and already enduring back-breaking labor. When I think of the goats, I think about the people who are sitting in positions of power to liberate people, but instead, they choose to oppress them. And to put this imagery in real time with the sheep and goats in action, I am reminded of the recent outcome of the County Commissioner's Courthouse meeting this summer and the decision to take away $31 million from social programs, including food, public health, and child care assistance for low-income Tarrant County residents. Money that could have helped families and communities to build a brighter future for themselves. A substantial portion will now instead be used to support exclusive, incomprehensible police training, as well as the expansion of the prison industrial complex, populated mostly by those with significant trauma, mental health disorders, and or poverty, and goes on. In this case, the sheep were the ones whose livelihood was being stripped away from them, and the goats were those who were using their power to do so. In relation to those in solidarity with the sheep, their sentiments, they were genuinely with the sheep, but their inaction aided the agenda of the goats. Those who were involved, particularly those who were in support of the sheep, you heard their voices, you saw their faces, you saw their social media posts, and you saw their love, many of which are sitting here in this congregation today. The ones who stood out most to me includes voices like Meryl Glasscock, who said to a judge in a courtroom, "How in the world can you even think about voting to defund already promised funds?" And then you have Mr. Burnham, who said, "We're supposed to be visiting those in jail, and you guys are doing the exact opposite." And lastly, I'm reminded of Pastor Ryan Price, who said, "How much more wrong is it to take the scraps that belong to the children and use them to feed the twin beasts of mass incarceration and corporate privatization?" Such courageous voices who shared their oppositions to the matter will receive their reward in heaven and on earth. And with reflection on the actions of the goats and those in solidarity with the goats, Scripture speaks clearly of the pending judgment we shall receive from God should not our actions change or begin. Today, I ask, what do we have to say about the ongoing tragedies occurring to the sheep, much of which is still awaiting our response and action? These matters include racial injustice and police brutality, the food deserts, or shall I say food apartheid here in our city, unequal education, the unfair healthcare system that favors the rich over the poor, affordable housing being difficult to find, gender-based wage inequality, the harsh treatment of LGBTQ plus folks, and many more. Such issues can be addressed through self-inquiry, education, and the shifting of ill-informed mindsets, corporate responsibility initiatives, conscious capitalism investments, community involvement, charitable donations, political advocacy, social protesting and marching, amplifying the minority voices and businesses, and such in support of the sheep. While engaging in such acts of kindness, keep in mind that our Savior is working alongside us. God's presence is with the disadvantaged, marginalized, and vulnerable communities. It is with the least of these that Jesus spent much of his time with during his ministry on earth. Being that he also was from a poor upbringing, he carried the identity of the marginalized within himself. So in addition to Jesus working alongside them, he also identifies with them, which I believe shows emphatically just how much he understands, values, and loves them. I can see him now calling him his people. So in closing, if we want to find ourselves with God, then we need to center ourselves with those most impacted by the pain of this world. And the way that we find God is for ourselves to be in solidarity with the sheep. God most desperately wants his children to be in unity and solidarity with one another, which requires also having a deep understanding and empathy towards those misunderstood, misrepresented, and mistreated by our unfair and cruel society. With that deep understanding, we must also take action. As Dr. Angela Davis best describes it, in a racist society, it's not enough to be non-racist. We must be anti-racist. Because neutrality is yielding to the dominant forces of evil. And since there is no middle ground, we have to take a stand. And as Jesus did for us in his own solidarity with humanity, so we must also do for others. And lastly, with encouragement to those in prevailing solidarity with the sheep, know that our contributions to the kingdom of God have not gone unseen, unheard, nor without return. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest, one that includes justice and joy for all of God's children. Amen.